KBOO.fm and clicking on Donate. It's 7:59.
Tune in to KBOO on Christmas Eve morning for 3 hours of jam-packed entertainment. At 6 o'clock, DJ Cilantro plays the best Christmas hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Then, at 7 o'clock, the Reverend Dr. Nigel Formal reads the Christmas classic, The Night Before Christmas.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Then at 8 o'clock, Cable Radio Playhouse Theater presents The Night the Reindeer Died. Free radicals try to take over Santa's workshop, and only one man can save them.
It's Ewan McGregor, come to save us!
Oh, hi, Mrs. Claus. Santa, is there a back way out of this place?
Oh, there is, Ewan, but this is one Santa that's going out the front door.
Look, Santa, it doesn't matter a hill of beans what happens to me, but if anything were to happen to you, there'd be no Christmas.
Oh, that's real nice of you to say, Ewan. You know, you've been a real good boy this year.
You sure have.
Cut your whack for this, you radical gets. Tune in to Swingin' Country, December 24th. You'll love it.
Give to KBOO today during our end-of-year match. Wrapping up December 31st, donations from all new and increasing members will be matched one-to-one up to $15,000 from the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Give an extra gift today or become a new member and your membership will be doubled to support independent community media and citizen journalism at KBOO. Thank you.
By the mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
Good morning. This is Monday, December 19th, 2016, and you are listening to KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis and Albany, KBOO.fm. My name is Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio. Give us a call and be part of this morning conversation. Our numbers here are 503-231-8032. That's 503-231-8032. I left home this morning and it was snowing, but I'm told that it is now beginning to rain. So for those in the Portland area who survived the great storm of 2016, we had almost 2 inches of snow and the city was shut down for, and the county was shut down for days and days and days. So, for those of you who are listening via the World Wide Web or in other parts of Oregon, join me in a laugh to Portland. We just heard this morning on Democracy Now!, and the topics included this morning election. So, up until now, the person who was voted on on election day for president was not technically the president-elect, technically the president-designate or something like that. But this day, electors in all 50 capitals, and I suppose, I wonder where they meet in D.C., but they will meet and elect in this grand ritual, I imagine, of a ceremony in which they will vote for the most part, for the person who won the most vote in their respective states. And so the Republican candidate will most likely be elected. And from here until January 20th, we may refer to him as the president-elect. I believe that begins at noon. I'm don't know if they all meet at the same time throughout the nation or noon in their respective states. But it is certainly a solemn, serious effort, ceremony, election, indeed, for the next president of the United States. Perhaps you have some thoughts on that, on the Electoral College. Suddenly, I think I've heard all sorts of people talking about how we should get rid of the Electoral College, and suddenly has a rich history. It did not happen by chance. It was a particular reason why those who created the Constitution of the United States added that as part of the electoral process for the chief executive of the United States of America. Perhaps you have some thoughts on those. Give us a call here, 503-231-8187, and share your thoughts. Also happening in our nations, Portland City Council is continuing to examine its role in social responsibility investment. You might have some thoughts on that, and certainly we will invite your calls on that as well. So whether it is local or national or certainly international, we certainly want your thoughts on thoughts that are important to you. And for many people, concerns about the nation or the city take second place to people as they prepare for this season, in which many people will celebrate family and friends and things like that. We will take your thoughts on how you manage to get through the season with some sort of sanity, and maybe somebody who is in a very worried mood might take some thoughts from what you might have to say and your wisdom there. So again, whether it's about how you prepare and maintain your sanity for the holiday season, whether you have some thoughts on the Electoral College and how we elect the President of the United States, or you have some thoughts on Portland City Council and its attempt to be socially responsible in terms of investment. And certainly there have been many things in the last couple of weeks that City Council have wrestled with, and I think continue to wrestle this week. Please give us a call here at 503-231-8187. If not, I will even entertain your own thoughts about something that is meaningful to you during this time. But I would like to begin by just having some reflection for people in terms of the electoral season. And as we gear towards January 20th, when the next president would be inaugurated, there are many thoughts and many actions that people will be doing in terms of resistance. Last week, we talked with activists here locally about how people are being active and what they can do in terms of being part of this resistance movement to the next president and his administration. I'd be interested also in hearing what are some of your thoughts. And certainly, I mean, this whole drama that is unveiling itself, I certainly find troubling in many ways, just in terms of the administration and in terms of the transition that is taking place, and just in terms of the shift in terms of the political power. And I like to remind some of my folks who say They wish the next president would not be president, and they want to, you know, impeach him or something like that even before he takes office. And the result is that if he is not inaugurated, then we will have Mike Pence, who is a very dedicated member of the political right. And if somehow he messes up, then we will have the Speaker of the House, Mr. Ryan, which is not a vast improvement. So we are in for some very interesting times here in these United States and indeed throughout the world. Good morning, Celeste.
Yeah, so while my cohort here was regaling all of us about the possibilities of, what we call it, Chief Gamedin, Prez Gamedin, President Gamedin, Armageddon.
Familiar. Oh, okay.
I did a little checking in on something that I wanted to cover today, and it's not a new thing, not by any stretch of the imagination. False news has been a staple of governments and espionage and diplomatic relations as long as human beings have had speech and separate societies. Mm-hmm. So the idea of false news is not new, but there seems to be in this particular time in our lives an epidemic of false news. And I was wondering how many people have experienced that, and not only experienced the idea of false news, and by experience, I mean fell prey to it, but more importantly, how many of you have had these conversations with your friends and family and done research to kind of find out what is the source of the false news and what you think are some of the causes and the reasons behind it. And so we wanted to entertain a few conversations about this. And in my research, I realized this might be something that we can cover another time and get a couple of other people to speak on, since with the advent of social media, the idea of false news now travels at the speed of keystrokes and uploads. And so it's quite possible to feed people all kinds of disinformation, misinformation, post-truth, outright lies. I know you look so shocked.
Well, I'm looking because you said false news. So either it's news or it's not. So what is this concept of false news?
The same thing as post-truth.
Post-truth. But news, I always thought news was news, and if it wasn't news, it wasn't.
Okay, then that would be what you call, okay, wait a minute, hold on, a connotation. That news is equal to truth.
Ah.
Okay. My understanding of news, and this comes from both what you would call journalism 101 back when you were in high school, as opposed to whatever they're doing right now, is just something that has occurred, you know, and people are talking about it. I don't think that we should connote news with truth. There is not necessarily an equivalency.
Okay.
Okay. We like to think there is. So if you heard the news, for example, and this is just something really basic, that, I don't know, that there was rain in Medford.
Yes.
But we had sunshine. Mm-hmm. Well, that would be something that you might call false news until you could verify, because Medford might say it's raining. Portland says it's not raining. We don't know what you're talking about. But there's no way to correlate the experiences and verify the experiences. So one takes it to have kind of a global relationship or global occurrence or accuracy. So that would be how I would look at what people call news. It's something that happened. You know, or something that somebody says happened.
But my understanding, or I'm wondering if you can help me or some listener, that false news is more than just like we don't have all the information needed, but it is certainly it is an attempt to give out information that's not true, that sounds like it could be accurate, but it certainly has, it may have in many times, it may also include lack of a better term, political agenda that's trying to manipulate, change, to feed people, your term you use, misinformation.
Well,
it's not like, oops, I made a mistake. I didn't know that was true. It's sometimes deliberate.
Oh, yeah, there's always that possibility of deliberate and intentional effort behind it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that it's absolutely honest and does not have any ill intent, not by any means. But if a person repeats something that they've heard without necessarily verifying it because somebody that they respect has said it, and they don't have either the sophistication or the access to fact-checking, they're giving that news, you know, and they're just innocent or duped or something. Anyway, just the kind of both lighten the mood, and because I just really don't want to talk about what the electors are doing today. I'm depressed. I don't know if I want to hear that. I'm holding out a last hope for electors to be faithless or whatever people want to call it. And I can't even believe that I actually said that because I thought I was past it. Guess I'm not. Anyway, the phone number is 503-231-8187. And join us in the conversation here on More Talk Radio. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thank you for your program. We have to wait till January 6th on pins and needles to find out what the Electoral College does.
Yes.
That's a long time to wait. I'll bring up a couple of points. I've been discouraged for a long time with the Democratic Party because they have to know, the leadership has to know all the different ways that the Republicans are capable of manipulating the voters and the elections. There's lots of evidence that they can manipulate the electronic voting count. There's ways they can take voters off the voting rolls by the millions, according to Greg Palast and others. And they gerrymander like crazy. So they have a whole slew of ways to suppress. Oh, and they use ancient machines, and they reduce the number of voting places. So they have a whole slew of ways, and our good Democratic leaders are unwilling to really talk about any of this.
Oh, and one thing that I find, you know, sadly fascinating with what's happening in North Carolina. So when they do happen to lose, they want to change the rules afterwards.
Yeah. It's like, why not? This is the thing that fascinates me about, I'm going to throw progressives and liberals under the bus along with the quote unquote Democrats. It's like, whatever happened to a proactive strategy?
There you go.
I don't understand that, you know, and the right is notorious for having think tanks that look far ahead.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just fascinated by it. I don't really understand how that escapes people.
Yeah, we have to do, like everybody knows, you have to get organized in the grassroots way and make the effort to, you know, each of us has to be a revolutionary, I guess. Here's the other point, interesting point, to me at least. I was rereading a gospel probably most people aren't aware of in, I believe, 1909. It came out channeled by an American guy named Levi. Came out with a book called The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ. And this is channeled in the same way Edgar Cayce accessed the Akashic record. So in this gospel, he talks about all the missing 18 years that are missing out of the New Testament, and it's just full of interesting stories, really, really poetically written. It's the most amazing scripture that I've ever come across. Well, in this gospel, before he starts his Jewish ministry, he goes to Egypt, and he's put through six tests, and he passes them all. And three of the tests involved dealing with lying humans. And I think that's really telling to me that the most common problem that he had to face was dealing with the lies of other humans. Anyway, that's kind of a descriptive of our problem. You were talking about dealing with people getting misinformation.
Yes.
I was talking about Trump with my neighbors who love Trump, and and then the woman, she watches this show called Francis and Friends. It's put on by Jimmy Swaggart's wife, Francis, and she says, well, Obama's hired all these Muslims. Muslims have infiltrated the White House. And it's like, where do you get that, Francis and Friends?
Well, of course.
Well, why are Christians going around misleading their flock?
Question is, are they doing it on purpose, or are they also succumbing to this false news? Because I find it hard to believe myself.
Yeah, and you know what they've said several times, why they're behind Trump, who's obviously not a Christian. Well, God uses all kinds of people to further the Christian goals. It's like,
well,
you make up reality to suit your dreams. I heard this woman.
Okay,
on
but wait, John, don't blame that on God. Okay,
no,
that's not his fault that he's got some folks that are lying.
He does.
Yeah.
I heard this woman interviewed on NPR about the economics, and she's asked, how come the stock market's getting so high as Trump's getting close to getting the war? And she says, it's because of hopium.
Well, thank you so much for your call.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.
Our number is 503-231-8187. And if you have nothing better to do, you can... watch Francis and Friends and read the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ. And our next caller, Dennis, good morning.
Oh, thank you for taking this call. I, like Celeste, I'm pretty depressed too. What I want to call about is, there was this incident over, I guess it was over the weekend, where the Chinese found this a drone in the water. Off the coast, and it seems that this drone was doing scientific research of some sort, and which is very good. And the Chinese were going to take it, but then there was a negotiation, and they were about to give it back to the States, and then Trump made the comment, why don't you just keep it? What more evidence do we need that this guy is a jerk and an idiot? I mean, I don't know. He's not fit to be. And he goes around wearing his baseball cap and saying all these crummy things. That's what I have to say. But I mean, just that incident is so outrageous, and it's gonna have repercussions. I don't know if it's already had repercussions, but I'd like to hear your comments about it. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you for your call. The thing about that really bothers me is, number one, that another sovereign nation would take the word of somebody who has not been officially installed. Now, it is to their advantage, and that being the Chinese, to take our drone. But still, Trump is not officially installed. Second, my concern is that apparently there's been a big push to make the United States look weak, either by the very actions of other nations taking facilities, I say, warships, planes, drones, whatever, and threatening to hold them when these vessels are in international waters. The other thing that bothers me, the third thing, finally, is the fact that McCain has basically exonerated Trump. And what he did is sidestep the issue in one of his speeches I heard, in which he says, well, the Chinese kept this thing and they reverse engineered it, so they know a lot about our technology now. And he uses that to show why Obama is weak and why there is no international strategy right now and why the United States is in such dire peril. And I'm trying to follow these, and I'm thinking about the whole idea of what's false news, what's post-truth, what's bad, you know, PR, and trying to make some sense of this all. I don't know that there is any sense to be made, except that this incoming administration is going to be a hodgepodge. You're going to have a hodgepodge because you have Trump, who shoots from the lip and doesn't really give anything any thought. I don't know if he's even taking his daily briefings yet. And then you have an outgoing president who has been basically told, you're not going to get anything done. You're going to be more than the epitome of a lame duck. So all we can do is wait.
Well, I would also have people remember that whenever there is a change of administration, that other countries, some which have been historically nemesis, want to test the incoming administration. This certainly happened with Obama, with China, and Bush with China. Mm-hmm. And so this happens every time for other countries to see who it is they're dealing with. So this type of incident is normal as new administrations come in. So what might be interesting is whether or not this incoming administration follows what has been the standard foreign policy way of doing things. And that's the difference that we might see. But, you know, who knows?
The last word I saw, though, according to, let's see, which news source was this, is that China, oh God, help us all, it's Fox News that said it, is that China is expected to return the drone on Tuesday. So I guess it's been penciled in.
So thank you so much for your thoughts, and you know, we just wait and see.
Wait and see. I was in the military. We had a phrase for this. It was called hurry up and wait.
Hurry up and wait.
That's right. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning, Barth. And where are the women? Come on, women.
Yeah, come on, women.
How you doing, Barth?
The military has another acronym for such things, and that's SNAFU. I don't think we'll define that right now.
Well, no, we can. You just got to use side words. Situation okay. Normal, all fouled up.
There you go.
There you go.
and your Cecil was saying that this is somewhat normal for other countries to challenge or to be uncooperative or to be adversarial,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But confrontational and all. Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the point that he used the word nemesis. A nemesis is really an extreme adversary. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of adversaries, and we've got a lot of people jockeying for political position, but they don't want to destroy us. You know, that's a nemesis just infers really strong harm. And so that's just a quibble for you.
Well, you've got a point there, because if they do destroy us, then the economic structure, even as tenuous as it may be, despite hopium, will collapse. And so we all need each other in those terms. But I'm not so sure that Trump isn't our nemesis.
Well, no, I appreciate your definition of nemesis, and would ask you, because of certainly the incoming president has often talked about China as economic enemies. So in that term, not political destruction, but in terms of who will have the upper hands economically.
Agreed. You know, that there's a lot of jockeying for position, and it's worse than that. I mean, there's more strong intentions. The other point that you just made is that if the incoming administration behaves traditionally or normally in these trying momentary times, then everything will be okay. Unfortunately, most of the people that he's bringing on board are incompetent, to be plain. I mean, they have a strong agenda. The agenda is, in many cases, not based on any kind of reality or truth that the broad spectrum of society trusts or believes in. And because of that, they don't have, and most of them don't have any political experience or skill. So I feel nervous about that. I feel nervous about the truth and experience testing that their incoming administration seems to be doing to civil servants about what their jobs and tasks have been over the last few years. And,
right, as if he's preparing for a purge.
Well, more than that, it's making those kinds of realities part of employment and part of professional outlook.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. I mean, you can support your friends and defer your enemies, but litmus testing of the crude nature that they're talking about is unfair, unwise, and probably illegal.
So what do you think, because as you have explained to us what's happening with this incoming administration, what do you think, will they be challenged by the political establishment, because they are so unorthodox? And you know, Republicans and Democrats, there's certainly, I believe, a certain political establishment which some agree upon norms, but this, from your explanation, what I've heard, it is so outside the way things are done. Will they be challenged, or can they be challenged? Will people be able to stand up to them?
Well, when the selection for president went through, and I think even a biased person will see that this was not a neutral election process, and that there was lots of things wrong with it, and that's another argument. But when Trump was ascending to the status of candidate, quite a lot of mainstream Republicans and important people on the right and elsewhere said, no, this is not our president. This is not presidential material. This person is dangerous. This person is totally
unqualified.
And then you have them, you know, you had the Speaker of the House, Mitt Romney, now, you know, bowing before him, all these so-called never Trump Republicans. And what happened to their nerve?
You follow the money a little bit, you know. Mitt Romney was, I think, a more nuanced candidate, not a great politician, but had some strength that the right and Republicans in general liked. And now it seems that it's more important to play ball, to go along and get along, to get an office, to get a position, to get a representative situation somewhere in the walls and corridors of government. Yeah. There's lots of people that are going to be rewarded with situations overseas as ambassadors, etc., and that's normal. But the quality of those people, the competence of those people, and just the acumen of those people is highly suspect.
Yes.
Donald Trump does not have any intellectual friends, as far as I know. Donald Trump doesn't read things. You are wondering if Donald Trump was getting his daily intelligence briefings. He has said to the press that, I don't need to hear the same things every day. I don't want to have daily briefings. If something important comes up, come and talk to me about it. And
I'm sure the Joint Chiefs of Staff are thrilled to have all that free time given to them.
Well, and three generals are going to be on the president's cabinet. And that's an unprecedented number. And the persons that he has picked, I think even calm and level-headed people will see that these are not the most stable. They do not have the views of much of the American public in terms of what is proper procedure, what is legal procedure, and that's the new norm. You were talking to begin with that what is news and what is false news. Well, the news business, which has shrunk to about six major corporations, is what the public is fed. News on television is largely entertainment now, and what passes for news is what the people that own the industry want to promote.
Hey, we need to move on, but sure. I certainly appreciate your thoughts and comments this morning.
I'm always happy to talk to you, and I would love to hear some more women, too.
All righty, well, thank you so much for your call.
Happy ho-ho.
You're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio on Monday morning.
And we're talking about news, post-truth, false news, the incoming. I don't quite know how to phrase. What title shall we have? Incoming Big Orange? The big glowing spot in the sky?
Let's move on to
to Corey. Good morning, Corey. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. I'm a veteran, too, and I remember an acronym, FUBAR. I think we're going to be in the very
Can you clean that up so everybody else knows?
F word up beyond all recognition. So that's
okay. Filed up beyond all recognition. Got it.
Prove our situation. I'll be brief. When you talk about false news, there was this incident about 2 weeks ago, this pizza game, where these websites were spreading this rumor that there's a pizza joint and that Hillary Clinton and John Podesta. Underground child sex ring, and they were selling children. And
yes, Pizzagate.
The dangerous part is that someone actually went there with a weapon to get these children and save them, even though it did not exist.
They didn't even have a basement.
And the scary part is that there's this guy named Alex Jones. If you don't know of Alex Jones, he has this website podcast, InfoWars.
And before it's news, also.
Exactly. And yet, President Trump has been on it. Right, oh, God. I just said it. He's been on this show congratulating him, telling him what a good job he's doing. And this guy is spreading these. I mean, for any sane, rational person, if you go to that website and read this stuff, it's like reading something taken to the National Enquirer on steroids. It's nothing but lies and falsehood. Anybody that wants. But yet people are using this as a legitimate news source. And I think that's where we're at right now. People choose to believe, yep, of course, he's something about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama smell like brimstone because they're demons. And, yep, and the next thing you know, people are actually spreading this on Facebook, on Twitter. They're believing these things because some dude on the Internet said them. So not only are we in this world where people can spread straight up bull on the internet, people believe it. And I guess I just feel it depresses me to be like, okay, so this is where we're at as a society right now, where you used to be able to call this stuff out. Now it's legitimized.
Well, you know, part of why we're in this predicament is there's a hunger for meaning, you know, on a very deep level. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons why, but people are looking to that. Now, I'm going to confess, I will watch stuff like InfoWars and Before It's News, because I've run out of Star Trek on my on my subscription, and I need a fix of sci-fi, you know. But people are hungry, and they want some significance, and they want to feel like they are getting what is actually going on behind the scenes. Nobody likes to feel manipulated. And a lot of people do, even those people who support Trump. And so it makes sense to me that people are looking at this.
I see what you're saying, but for someone like me who, I'm someone who, we're both veterans. I had to live in the real world.
Oh, yes. Now, yes.
I still teach. And the scary part is that I just finished teaching a class, and this one gentleman kept using... I kept saying use legitimate, you know, academic sources. He kept sourcing his material from things such as InfoWars. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to accept this paper because this isn't, number one, it's not academic. He's like, oh, you're just being biased. I'm like, no. So that's where I think a lot of people are at right now. I'm having to teach a class, and this guy is talking about, you know, President Obama. Of course he's a Kenyan. We have proof. And I'm like, oh, so that's where, now, so even for someone in academia, it's scary now, because what do I use as a real source of information? Because people I'm going to say this is illegitimate, and then they have to, oh no, you're illegitimate because you're being biased.
Well, and you might be put on that list of professors, yeah, who are the enemies list, I guess.
Well, you know, that's when we have to go back to Information and News 101 and teach how to be discerning. But, you know, you can lead the horse to water.
Exactly. And we got a lot of horses that don't want to drink, or what they're drinking is crazy pills. And so I'll leave it at that, and I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good New Year's and happy Christmas.
All righty, as well. And you need to come visit us sometime and tell us about some of your experiences. You
I
are listening. Okay.
I will swing by the studio one day, Yeah,
you got to let us know first, though. Okay.
Okay.
You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, where we do our due diligence here. So we're making sure that we're not giving you post-truth and lies and damn lies, or is it lies, more lies and damn lies? I think that's what it is. Anyway, it's really important to know what the sources are and to know how things are designated. And sometimes that's hard because you need an impartial arbiter. So who do you go to figure out who's right, who's left behind, who needs to be left alone? You know, all of that.
You know, part of the what I hear from our last caller and a previous caller is that there's a tendency to go to sources that you believe in, and I think this might be true regardless of one's political perspective. The problem is that there seems to be less of a common ground where everyone could agree on the facts. So it's not...
a media comment.
It's not new that media sources are biased.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, in the past, you had a Republican paper and you had a Democratic paper, and oftentimes with the name on top of it. So, mm-hmm, you know, the Republican, Pittsburgh, whatever, you know what it was. But there seemed to be at least a consensus of what is truth. And also the ability to say that this is opinion as, mm-hmm, opposed to agreed upon truth. That common consensus seems to be less possible today, and that is troubling.
Well, you know, one of the things I remember, and I know it's been upgraded, and the book itself is, I think, was published in 1956 when I was going to journalism school at Mizzou. One of the books we had to use was, or rather read, was Four Theories of the Press. And it kind of outlined how we have libertarian press. Well, hold on. Let me get to my notes here so I can be honest and do it. Okay. There was four systems and four perspectives, what they say, or four theories of the press. And so what you did was break down how the press served a particular political system of governance. Okay. And I'm thinking that nowadays we don't teach what these different political systems were and how the press worked with them like we used to. For one thing, people are still even arguing over what the word fascism means. Okay, according to Merriam-Webster, which I found really interesting, and I know there's going to be some people who are going to take me to task for using Merriam-Webster, but I was reading an article here, and it was in The Atlantic, about the fact that that was the word, that was our number one word, you know, that popped up for 2016, fascism, and what it actually meant, and how we were a little bit confused about how we were using it, and that they had even arguments among the different folks about what fascism really was. Well, I'm thinking that one of the reasons we don't have a clear theory of how we're looking at the press with regard to that is that all of these words have become soft and fuzzy. And also, we have not taught, according to what has been experienced in the past, from multiple perspectives, what history was. If you try to include, for example, an indigenous perspective of history, there will be people who will say, well, you're rewriting history. That's not true. If you try to present history from just the perspective of the conqueror, well, there's going to be people who are going to say, well, that's just one perspective of history. That's not true. But if we're teaching the applications of information and media according to either one of those instead of all of the possible permutations, then you're not really teaching media. You're teaching how to put out information or news or propaganda. And maybe that's why people are confused.
Yes, that could be.
Oh, that would be a topic for another show. Okay, it is 8:45. Our lines are, wow, they're just full today.
But before we go, let me remind you that at 9 is the Old Mole Variety Hour, which will look at the national Fight for 15 and Portland City's Council Socially Responsible Investment Committee, Blue City's resistance to Trump climate policies, and a review of the classic cartoon A Charlie Brown Christmas, like one of my favorites.
Yes.
At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. Locus Focus is at 10:15, and host Barbara Bernstein welcomes student activist Ella Schreiner to discuss how youth movements helped pass the recent ban on new bulk fossil fuel terminals in Portland. At 11 is Radio Zine presents Peace Talk Radio, memorable moments from Ralph Bunche, Muhammad Yunus, Al Gore, Jimmy Carter, and more. And thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support over the years. And if you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we will talk with Jack. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Yeah, I think the term that's most widely used about the phenomena you're discussing today is fake news, which it means something that's made to look like the real deal but is been fabricated. And that's the term that's being used. And I would remind everyone, you must have heard this, certainly you've heard this before. In the Soviet Union, there were two news outlets, Izvestia and Pravda, and one means truth, the other means news, and the saying was, there's no truth in the news and no news in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Most citizens of the Soviet Union learned to read between the lines, learned to question virtually everything, and unfortunately, in the U.S., people have so much faith in their mainstream media, generally speaking, I wouldn't say everyone, generally speaking, that they simply don't question. And so those who do, however, we have alternative news sources that people consult, and in response to what you said about check your sources, find sources that you believe in, well, of course, you have your flagship news program, Democracy Now!, And I would throw up another term, and some people will be pretty upset about this probably, but there is a term in the intelligence world called deflective source disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably familiar with that. And it's disinformation that's put out from perceived to be coming from a source that you trust, that's alternate to the mainstream source that you don't trust. And I will cite something very specifically. This was the coverage of the that we got on Democracy Now! And the buildup toward the proxy invasion of Libya. And we had reports coming from a source on the ground who turns out she never was even in the source that was being cited, was never even in Libya. She was reporting from Cairo. And you could get alternative accounts of what was going on there by people who were really there in Libya giving reports, but none of this even made it to Democracy Now! To find those reports, you had to go to really obscure alternative sources on the internet, which some of which have been denounced in this article that came out in the Washington Post as being, dismissed in this article that came out in the Washington Post as being fake news sources. I'm talking about sources like Global Research Global Research is one of the sources where the reports from journalists that were actually in Libya were being published, and they were contradictory to what we were getting from the Democracy Now! Correspondent, who was fully accorded with all the report, all the analysis, quote-unquote, that we were getting from Juan Cole, telling us just how terrible Gaddafi was and his...
So let me ask you, because you're... let me ask you, because we're running short on time, and it's very detailed what you're saying, in terms for the average listener or the average person who would like to be accurate in the information they get or receive, what are some suggestions you might share with those people who would open the a newspaper, or how do we know the truth?
Who knows? I mean, it's really. I think it takes so much time to analyze and compare and say, does this really sound legit, or does this sound like it's ginned up?
You've hit on the real problem, and this is why the principles of persuasion work, because people don't have as much time as they need to really delve down, and so they look to certain personalities or certain institutions to point the way. And I think you've hit up on it, is who do we look to? So, caller, really quickly, could you give us a couple of sites that you think would help the ordinary person be able to start winnowing through fake news?
Well, Global Research has a lot of articles, and the analyst who I look to often and listen to his weekly reports and so forth is Webster Tarpley. Now, Webster Tarpley is dismissed by a lot of people because long, long ago, he was affiliated with LaRouche, the LaRouche organization, Schiller Institute in Europe. Okay, and he broke with LaRouche over probably 30 years ago, roughly. And a lot of people dismiss him because of that, but he did a lot of extraordinary work publishing the book Who Killed Aldo Moro. about the Gladio investigations in Italy.
Okay, so that one name, just repeat that one name because we've got a full buffer.
That's Webster Tarpley.
Okay, and Webster Tarpley.
You can
Tarpley.
Find him at tarpley.net.
Okay.
And he's an analyst primarily, a historian and an economist.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We have to go. We got three more callers and not enough time. But thank you so much.
Just if you question Webster something, Tarpley. Then just Google it and look for different articles and compare them.
All right. What I would also tell people is take a little time. You have to be really deliberate about how you read your news. And the one thing that the caller said I think is really important is when you have a society like you did in communist Russia, people knew that they were not always getting the best deal of things, and they were not sitting in anything remotely like a lap of luxury, despite how poor some of our poor, not all of our poor, but some of our poor are, we still have some luxuries, like the chance to get perhaps access to a computer. Take a little bit of time and find out what is going on and balance it. Don't take everything you hear. We're going to see if we can crowd in these folks really quickly. Paul, you're
on
there.
So remember Baba Ram Dass be here now?
I remember Baba Ram Dass.
So when the goddess gives you lemons, make lemonade.
All right.
Donald Trump wants to not build the F-35 fighter. Donald Trump wants to not build a big, fancy new Air Force One. Okay, this is good. Support him on this, because how else is he going to get the economic stimulus that's going to get the people at the bottom a little bit of a crumb? And I was listening to Amy Goodman, and this woman was talking blah, blah, blah about the all her history and all the electoral college, and she said, well, who would you... Well, I think Hillary Clinton would be good. Like, how would that be good? I mean, after all, she's in bed with the bankers, and she would crush the economy.
And you don't think that Trump will? You don't think that all of these people that voted for him
are going to lose their edge? I would rather a right-winger crash the economy than a left-winger crash the economy.
A crashed economy is still people poor. And the truth is, there are lots of poor people, no matter how bad it is, that really depended on this health care program that Obama had,
right,
who are losing it. So how is that good?
He's not going to be able to change that.
Right. You can accept that. And I'll talk with you. But you got to call earlier next time so we have more time.
Well, I called earlier. Do you let that one guy go on forever?
Well, he talked so slow. I was trying to let him at least, you know, I didn't want to seem rude. Now I feel rude because you called late and I have to cut you off. But, I mean, you have a point.
But, we got lemons, so let's make some lemonade, you know. And,
okay.
You know, be building on what Jack was just saying, be in the reality of today.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'm with you on that.
Be here now.
So we're gonna hold Trump accountable is what I'm pulling out of that. That's my takeaway.
That's your takeaway.
Yeah, hold him accountable. Because he said, crumbs, take those crumbs.
Okay.
Joan.
Oh, got a few minutes?
Yeah.
1 minute?
1 minute.
Come on, Joan, hit it.
Okay, I'm going to hit it. Okay, this is reminding me of a line from a Bob Dylan song. I don't remember what the song was. The line is, the princess and the prince discussed what's real and what is not. And I think there's a lot of levels of reality that people can listen to. One of them is the human voice. And I think it's really important to teach kids in school how to look inside themselves and tell what's true. Because truth is not necessarily about information. And I think this is where people get confused. I can, for example, tell by your voice that you're not lying. I don't know, maybe by what you say, whether or not you may be misinformed, whatever, but I can tell you're not lying by listening to your voice. And a lot of people are really disengaged from connection with each other and from connecting to the voice and to other means that humans use to communicate. And this internet thing, combined with a reliance on, quote, information, is really confusing people and actually driving a lot of people crazy right now. That's my theory.
I think you got a great point, and we should talk more about this in the future.
Thank you for letting me express it.
I think that this is just hitting the tip of the iceberg with the conversation today. And we'll be talking more about all of these issues. But the most important thing to do, I'm going to go out with what Joan said, is talk to each other so that you can learn to discern the truth and resonate in truth with each other. This right. is your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. This has been More Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We have coming up more news, views, and information you can use here on 90.7 FM.
KBOO Portland, good morning. It's 8:58. Coming up is the Old Mole Variety Hour. And then coming up at 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Locus Focus. Barbara Bernstein welcomes student activist Ella Schreiner to discuss how youth movements helped pass the recent ban on new bulk fossil fuel terminals in Portland. At 11 o'clock, Radio Zine presents Peace Talk Radio. And the Old Mole Variety Hour next. Rain today in the forecast with a high near 45. This is KBOO. It's 8:59.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee, third Wednesday of each month at 5 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email Monica at kboo.org.
Prison Pipeline is a radio program dedicated to educating the public about the Oregon criminal justice system. Topics include incarceration and reentry, addictions and mental health, elections and laws, victims' rights, and criminal justice reform. The program presents a unique understanding of the criminal justice system, addresses the root causes of crime, and challenges the status quo. It seeks to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safer, healthier, and more just society.
Prison Pipeline airs on Monday evenings from 6:30 to 7 p.m. on KBOO Portland. Check us out every week. If you miss an episode, you can stream it later. Just go to kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. More info about upcoming shows and events related to the prison community.